It is time for us to begin our check on sports, and on weekends like this, we always bring in Mike Causey first, and we take a look at what's going on in racing in our immediate interest area. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm good.
All right. Is racing starting to build up?
Well, it's Belmont weekend.
Okay, yeah. And that means there's going to be a ton of people.
Yeah, no COVID restrictions. Everybody's going in, so it's business as usual. I was at the last two manned Belmonts last year and then in 2019, and it was a great experience. And last year, they really screwed up. They only left 5,000 people in there. It was like you had a private party going on at Belmont, and the racing was tremendous. But this year, I'm not going, and the racing is terrible. Real short fields. It's unbelievable how short the fields are this weekend at Belmont. They got a couple of races with five horses in it. That's just awful. People might like it because they'll win, but they're not going to win anything. Just bad racing this weekend at Belmont. But the three races that stand out to me, the first race is the eighth race, the Jaipur. This goes off just before 4 o'clock. It's a grade one, 6 furlongs on the turf. Draws a nice field of 13. You're only going to see one race with that many horses in it, and this is it. And the two horses I like in this race are white out on the outside. The 12-horse Gear Jockey. This horse is 0-for-3 this year, but he's 1-for-1 at the distance. And going to today's distance, I think, is going to be real beneficial to him. Last two times this horse ran in Kentucky at Keeneland and Churchill Downs, this horse was coming on late on some nice paces. Last one was not as fast as the previous one. The first one, they went to the half in 43, last time in 46, and this horse was coming on in both of them. I think the extra ground and the expected quick pace in here is going to set things up for him. So the 12 gear jockey is one of my plays, and the other play is the 13, Gregorian Chant. This is another horse who has some late foot. Coming out of that same race at Churchill Downs that the 12-gear jockey did, the turf sprint, which was 5.5 furlongs, this horse closed from 10th to 3rd in the stretch. Rosario comes back for a repeat mount at 8-1. I think this horse is an extreme overlay. So in the Jaipur, we're going to with a 12-13 exact the box and the 13 horse to win. Moving along to the 10th race, which is the mile and a quarter Manhattan on the turf. This race goes off at a little after 5:30. This race has 10 horses in it. Not a bad field. Again, these are the only races I'll be betting at Belmont tomorrow. One horse in here, the 2-horse Gufo. This horse shows up every time. Sometimes he gets there, sometimes he doesn't. He's an honest horse. Rosario's ridden his horse probably like the last 8 times this horse ran. He runs with blinkers, without blinkers, runs good without Lasix, which is tomorrow's task. And this is his 3rd off the layoff, so he should be pretty sharp in here. But he's the 3-1 morning line favorite. And in this race, I think that's a little bit too much to bite off. Couple other horses I like in this race. The 5-horse In Love, trained by Pablo Lobo. This guy ships all over the country. He's based out of California, but he ships all over the place. He upsets the apple cart a few times. This horse won the Maker's Mark Mile. Well, I still call it the Maker's Mark Mile. Last year, actually the Keeneland Turf Mile in the fall at 12-1. So don't be afraid of a price with this horse. He's 15-1 morning line, and he's every bit part of this race. He came off a layoff to run at Keeneland in the Maker's Mark Mile in April. Ran a real even race. I expect him to be a lot better tomorrow. And at 15-1 for the morning line, this horse is a must-use. But my top horse in this race is going to be the 9, Santine, trained by Brendan Walsh. Very quietly, in my opinion, dollar for dollar and pound for pound, Brendan Walsh's horses are probably the best-trained, best-conditioned horses in big races in the country. Yeah, I know, Pletcher and Chad Brown and all that. But if you follow racing, Brendan Walsh is the guy to get some prices on horses in big races consistently. And this horse, Santine, came off a layoff in the fall, ran a couple races to fairgrounds, needed a little bit of time to figure it out, ran a smashing race in the Turf Classic on Derby Day at Churchill Downs in the beginning of May. This horse is still sharp, and Gaffleone stays with the horse. This horse is going to be my top pick in the Manhattan. So the 9 Santine, the 2 Gufo, and the 5 In Love are going to be my plays in Manhattan, which plays right into the next race, the Belmont. 11th race, post time's about 6:45. There is 8 horses in this race. The one horse is the now horse, We the People, who won the Peter Pan. This horse has a lot to prove to me. This horse hasn't really run against anybody. The Peter Pan was a nothing race to me. 2-1 morning line favorite for this horse. I'm not even going to use the horse in my number. A couple horses I'm going to use that have interest to me. The filly, Nest, by Curlin. And it's funny that the filly is in the Belmont by Curlin because the filly beat Curlin a couple years ago. And this horse, I think, is bred to go the distance and could be there at the end. So I'm going to use the filly, the 3-horse Nest, the 5-horse Creative Man, who ran in the Preakness, and I thought ran a pretty good race in the Preakness for a lightly raced horse from the peak. I'm going to use that horse coming back in here. And to me, it's a no-brainer. I'm coming back with the Derby winner, Rich Strike. I was in the right pew, but in the wrong church on Derby Day. I thought that the race this horse came out of, the Jeff Ruby Stakes, was the best 3-year-old prep in the country. I just went with the wrong 80-1 shot. Rich Strike had a good trip in the Derby, but this horse ran and had a couple of gears in the Derby. They sat him out, pointing to the Belmont. He's as sharp as a tack. He was training well before the Kentucky Derby. He's training even better now. I think he's going to be overlooked because of the jockey-trainer combination. And you might get $8 on this horse, which will be the biggest Belmont payout in a long time. So I'm going to go with the 4, the Derby winner, Rich Strike, in the Belmont, with the filly, 3, Nest, and the 5, Creative Man, to round out a try.
All right, and people don't realize that, don't understand how big the Belmont is. I mean, I'm not talking about an event. I'm talking about actual size.
Well, it's big, and it got cut down since the Islanders built their arena right on the grounds. But it still is immense. The building, the structure, which I think they're going to change, I don't know when, is probably the biggest racetrack structure in the country.
Yeah, it holds about 100,000 people, right?
The stands?
No, the stands, the all together, right?
Oh, yeah, they could fit 100,000 in there. It's huge.
Yeah.
You could go to Belmont Park, and you could tell your friend you're going there. You might not see the friend for the whole day. That's how big it is, especially if it's crowded.
Yeah.
If it's empty, you could yell Pinocchio from one end to the other, and everybody will hear you. But on a day like tomorrow, you can go there, tell your friend he's going to meet you there. You might not see him all day.
All right. Well, good luck with the picks.
We'll try our best.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Have a great day, guys.
Mike Cossey with the picks for the Belmont coming up tomorrow here on Robin Hood Radio. It was quite a night last night in Major League Baseball. We'll go over the scores, first of all, and then we will talk a little bit about what happened in Major League Baseball, especially one particular game. Taking a look at games that, of course, we look at locally here with our local teams, the Yankees and the Twins, that's the game we'll go to. The Yankees won that game 10-7. Pretty amazing, is all I've got to say. Those are the only local teams that really saw action yesterday in the NBA. We'll go over to the National Hockey League. The Rangers now have dug themselves a hole. They lost yesterday to Tampa Bay 3-1. Tampa Bay leads that series 3-2. Does that mean? That means the Rangers can't lose another game. They have to win the next 2 games to make it to the Stanley Cup Final. And we'll see if that's possible, and that's going to happen. All right, the game I was talking about,
Stanley Cup,
the Yankee game. It was amazing. I didn't see it. I heard about it, but I didn't see it. And there were 9 home runs in that game. 9 home runs in that game. All right, and what I want to do for you right now is I want to play them for you back-to-back-to-back as prepared by Major League Baseball. Let's see if I can do this, all right? Now I think I'll be able to do it.
Pops it up into right.
Should be deep enough to get home. Judge, Kepler lines it up. Will fire into second. Judge scores. A high fly to deep right field. Going back is Gallo. We are tied. Just his second of the year, a no-doubter to right field. He got himself a changeup. And now Buxton drives one to left field. And just like that, the Twins are on top.
Well, that's that Buxton we saw earlier in the year. Hitting hanging sliders up in the third deck, turning on balls. That's a great way to set the tone against an ace. You got to get the aces early, and they've done that so far.
And now Correa drives it to left. 3-0 Twins. Clear skies, but thunder and lightning at Target Field.
Almost identical to the pitch Buxton hit out, just kind of spot out there right.
Pretty amazing. Three consecutive home runs back-to-back-to-back for the Twins. But that wasn't it. They weren't finished with all that. That's all I can say. The Yankees came back to win that game by a score of 10. What was it, 10 to 7? Yeah, 10 to 7. Pretty amazing is all you can say. Here's the Yankees now.
To right center field, will it ever come down?
Hey, last time I was on the headset, Larnick was hitting, he hit a bomb, so I think we have something here.
Another Minnesota home run. Yankees now.
Gallo tomahawks that deep into the night. My goodness, what a blast from Joey Gallo.
So that made it 7-4 Minnesota at that point. Yankees again.
LeMahieu charges that into left center. Buxton back, looking up, it is gone! The 100th career home run for DJ LeMahieu.
So it was 7-5 Minnesota at that point.
Hicks launches that down the right field line. This game is tied!
Yankees tied it 7-7.
And it's 7-7. Rizzo pokes it the other way. A base hit. Judge rounding third. Heading home. He scores. Rizzo into second. He's out.
So that wasn't a home run, but the Yankees took the lead on that one 8-7.
Anthony Rizzo.
But the Yankees weren't done.
Hicks finds a hole. Nice piece of hitting from Aaron Hicks, and the Yankees lead is 9-7.
Well, we showed you the power of Aaron Hicks, his two-run home run, and now the ability just to...
And finally, one more for the Yankees.
That one skips away from Sanchez. Rizzo delayed it first.
So that's the way the game wound up. Absolutely amazing. 10-7, all those home runs. Bombs, 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 and more bombs. That is a check on sports this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.